Ramble on up Chandelier above Livingston Manor and double down for Radio Catskill. 2 to 5 tomorrow at the Arnold House.
From the Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is Farm and Country. I'm your host, Kimberly Izar. It's Saturday, October 11th. Well, red, orange, and yellow hues of autumn have painted the Catskills, and there's a lot happening this fall. Today, we're going to hear about a few events happening in our listening area. In the first half of our show, we chat with Annette Deal from Deal Homestead Farms about their Fall Fest happening today in Calicoon. And in our second half, we'll head further down south to Narrowsburg. The Western Sullivan Public Library's Junior Master Gardeners will mark the close of their gardening season with a fall potluck. We'll chat with Callison Stratton from the Western Sullivan Public Library to share more about the celebration before winter arrives. Plus, Keith Hubbard's Star Talk report. But first, news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. President Trump is blaming Democrats for layoffs amid the ongoing government shutdown, saying they started this thing and called the job cuts Democrat-oriented. In court filings and a lawsuit by labor unions, the White House said more than 4,000 federal employees have received layoff notices. Democrats say they won't cave to pressure tactics. The ongoing shutdown has led to staffing shortages in air traffic control towers. Airports across the country experienced scores of delays this week. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy is threatening to fire air traffic controllers who don't show up for work. Here's details from NPR's Joel Rose.
In an interview on the Fox Business Channel, Secretary Duffy said there's been a noticeable uptick in the number of air traffic controllers calling out sick. Duffy said it's a small fraction of controllers who are creating a massive disruption and suggested the government could fire those, quote, problem children.
And if we have some on our staff that aren't dedicated like we need, we're going to let them go.
Nearly 11,000 certified air traffic controllers are required to work during the government shutdown, but don't get paid until it ends. Thousands of flights have been delayed this week as the Federal Aviation Administration limits the number of planes in the air in order to keep the skies safe. Joel Rose, NPR News, Washington.
With the ceasefire in Gaza holding, rescue workers have been retrieving bodies from the rubble after Israeli troops pulled back from some areas. An estimated 200,000 Palestinians have already returned to neighborhoods in the north, with many homes destroyed by 2 years of war. Tess Ingram from UNICEF told the BBC the aid agency has 1,300 trucks ready outside Gaza and waiting for the crossings to open.
We are really focused on meeting children's basic needs for survival because the stakes remain so high. And that means nutrition supplies, it means safe drinking water, it means shelter, blankets and warm clothes with winter coming.
President Trump expected to visit the region on Monday. He's to address Israel's parliament and to meet with leaders in Cairo. President of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology has written a letter telling the Trump administration that it won't be signing on to what the White House called a compact to get preferential treatment for federal funding. Here's NPR's Alyssa Nadworny.
The letter from MIT President Sally Kornbluth says the compact, quote, includes principles with which we disagree. MIT was one of 9 universities asked by the Department of Education to sign the agreement to ensure access to federal funding and grants. The compact requires schools to agree to a list of demands, including a 5-year tuition rate freeze, limits on international students, and prohibiting the use of race or sex as admissions factors. Kornbluth writes, the university believes that scientific funding should be based on scientific merit alone, and therefore, quote, we cannot support the proposed approach to addressing the issues facing higher education. The university is the first school to respond publicly to the administration's compact. Alyssa Nadworny, NPR News.
And you're listening to NPR News.
This is Radio Catskill. I'm Kimberly Izar. The Dole Act is a sweeping piece of legislation to improve access to health care and VA services for veterans. It was signed into law on January 2nd at the start of this year. But local VA agencies said that implementation of the law has been slow.
To date, the VA has implemented virtually none of the provisions of the Dole Act. The congressional staffers who addressed us seemed extremely frustrated from all sides of the political aisle that the VA has not taken any of these actions, including actions that the Dole Act specifies to be effective immediately.
That's Sullivan County's Veterans Services Agency Director Stephen Walsh. The bipartisan Dole Act introduced key provisions to expand access to health care for veterans, mental health care, and access to safe and stable housing.
The U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs announced in July it would reduce staff by about 30,000 employees, far less than its initial plans to cut the department by 80,000 people. But veteran advocates worry that these cuts will further disrupt delays to already existing service shortages. Walsh has said staffing shortages have created a wait time of 6 months to a year for veterans in Sullivan County seeking mental health therapy.
While VA leadership states that there will not be a major reduction in force at the healthcare facilities, staffing attrition at these facilities appears to be taking place in large numbers.
Walsh says a higher number of older veteran clients are increasingly struggling to keep up with high grocery bills and utility bills to heat their homes as implementation for the Dole Act continues to stall. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at lodestarfoundation.org. This is NPR.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Farming Country. I'm Kimberly Izar. The Catskills is colored with the red and orange hues of autumn, and that's a sign that fall is in full swing. That means hay rides, pumpkins, and yes, fresh apple cider donuts. That is my personal sign that fall is here. Here to share more about Fall Farm Festival happening today at Deal Homestead Farm is Annette Deal, owner of Deal Homestead in Calicoon. Annette, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate the shout out to our wonderful fall festival.
Of course. Well, I'm sure it's going to be a great time and I'm excited to hear more about it. So the Deal Farms, it has long been a staple here in the Catskills for many generations. Do you want to just share a little bit more about the farm and what the fall season looks like for you this time of year?
Our farm is a multi-generational farm with our children being the sixth generation working the farm. And we have a dairy farm with Holstein cows, with a few other farm animals around like chickens and sheep. And we are busy this fall season with lots of activity. We're going to throw this fall festival and we're getting ready, decorating with corn stalks and pumpkins and mums and making everything all fall beautiful.
Oh, that's going to be such a fun time. And, you know, I know that today is a really big day for you and the farm because you're hosting the farm's fall festival at the farm. Can you tell me a little bit about what people can expect at the event?
Yes. Well, this is the third time we've done this. And we have bouncy houses, one for the little kids and one for the bigger kids. And we have hay rides and farm animals, pumpkins, live music. We have someone pressing apples and making fresh apple cider right there at the festival. And we'll be cooking our famous apple cider donuts with maple sugar on them. Our store will be open with all of our goodies, maple honey. We'll be making our maple cotton candy. We also have raw milk available for sale. And we have lots of vendors and crafters. The Sullivan West FFA will be there to help and to promote their organization, the Future Farmers of America. What else? Oh, I'm just so excited. The hay rides, the pumpkins. We're having a delicious chicken barbecue dinner that'll be available all day until sold out.
I mean, there's so many, Annette, hearing you describe all the different activities for the festival. There's so many moving parts. I love how family friendly this festival is. I'm curious, you know, having a farm year round is not for the faint of heart, but especially having a farm in full swing during the fall when so much is happening, I imagine can be a lot. What are some of the challenges with that?
Right now on the farm, we're getting ready for the end, for the harvest, for the end of the season, making sure we have enough hay for the cows for the winter, making sure we have enough firewood to heat the home and to have firewood for our maple season. And we're getting ready for the holiday season, getting everything together so that we have all, everyone's favorites for the holiday shopping season.
And is there anything for today's festival that you're especially excited about?
I am very excited to have families there enjoying the beautiful fall views and the farm itself. It's so beautiful. And we have the working farm. You can see the cows in the field enjoying the grass, and we can see the farm tractors, and we can see the farm animals, and the kids are running around having a wonderful time. They're enjoying maple cotton candy, learning about the farm and what we do. It's a wonderful day. I love it.
Yeah, I feel like watching the little kids interact with the animals is always one of my favorite things. It's just the best.
It's
really
a chance for them to learn.
Yeah, definitely. And they're so excited to tell people about it.
Yes, they are. And they just love the animals. And it's just pure.
Yeah. Annette, is there anything else you want folks to know about for this upcoming event or anything else that you have planned for the rest of the year?
I'd like everyone to feel free to come out. It's a free event, free parking. There's no admission. Of course, we would love to have your support. We're having a chicken barbecue that's there for purchase. And there's you can look and see what we have year-round available right there at the store. Not everybody realizes that they're welcome to come to the store for fresh eggs and milk and the products that we have available. So this is a chance for us to meet everybody and to introduce them to what we do there on the farm. Just for the weather, it's an outdoor event. We're going to be cooling off a little bit, but we should have a very lovely day today.
Well, Fall Festival will be happening today, Saturday, October 11th from 12 to 5 p.m. at the Deal Homestead Farm in Calicoon. That's at 93 Deal Road. It's free admission and there's going to be lots of fun for the whole family. Annette, it was really such a pleasure chatting with you.
Oh, it was great talking with you and thank you. Have a great day.
Of course. Best of luck. You can find more information on Annette's farm on their website. That is Deal, D-I-E-H-L, Farms, farmmarket.com. Again, that's Deal, Farms, farmmarket.com. Up next, you know what time it is? This week's Star Talk Report from Keith Hubbard.
For Farm and Country, I'm Keith Hubbard, and this is Star Talk. The last quarter moon will be on Monday, with the moon appearing nearly half illuminated on its left side. The line separating the lighted side of the moon from the darkened side is called the terminator. The terminator shows where it is sunset on the last quarter moon. Scanning the terminator with binoculars, you can see the tops of mountains that are illuminated while the surrounding area is shrouded in darkness, and the depths of craters that are covered in shadows while the surrounding area is basked in sunlight. The last quarter moon is also known as the third quarter moon, referring to the fact that the moon is three quarters of the way through its cycle as measured from one new moon to the next. The moon is not a two-dimensional disk, but a three-dimensional spherical body. The illuminated half-disk of the moon that we see in the sky is one quarter of the whole moon. Though we see different portions of the moon lighted during its cycle, one half of the moon is always lighted. The moon orbits Earth once every 29 and a half days, and as it does so, it is visible at different times of the day. The moon will rise just before midnight on Monday and will be visible into the early afternoon on Tuesday. The new moon rises and sets with the sun and is not visible, while the full moon rises when the sun is setting and sets when the sun is rising, making it visible all night. Look for the last quarter moon in the morning on Tuesday. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future Star Talk segments, my email address is startalk@farmandcountry.org. For Farm and Country and Star Talk, this has been Keith Hubbard reminding you to keep looking up.
Thanks to Keith for this week's report from the stars. The Western Sullivan Public Library's Junior Master Gardener program is gearing up for the end of their gardening season, but they're celebrating in style with a fall harvest potluck at the Tustin Heritage Community Garden on Saturday, November 1st. That's just a few weeks away. Joining me on the phone now is Callison Stratton, who oversees the children's programs at the Western Sullivan Public Library and also the host of Liberation Station, which airs Saturdays at 7 p.m. here on Radio Catskill. Callison, welcome to Farm and Country.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Well, I know that, you know, we've talked about the Junior Master Gardener program on the program a few times already, but maybe it might be good to remind people what exactly is the Junior Master Gardener program at the Western Sullivan Public Library.
Yeah, so the Junior Master Gardeners, or the JMG, is a program of the international. It's an international program, and it's managed by the CCE, the Cornell Cooperative Extension in our area, and it's part of the University Cooperative Extension around the world, the country. And we have a plot in the Tustin Heritage Community Garden, which is right behind the Narrowsburg branch of the Western Sullivan Public Library. And our program meets monthly on the first Saturday of every month. And we've got a group of 9 kids that have been doing the program with us since April. And it's been a really wonderful, you know, exploration of gardening and of all of the elements that go into that, learning about agriculture and composting and following the life cycle from seed to, you know, to a full plant. And we are coming to the end of our season right now.
Oh, that's so special. And you said 9 kids, correct?
Yep, we've got 9 kids that have been with us since the beginning. We've had, a couple switching out here and there. But for the most part, they've been doing the program since the beginning. It's been really cool.
You know, when I hear about programs like the Master Gardeners program, there's like a piece of like jealousy because I wish that I had something like this, you know, growing up.
Same.
I mean, yeah, tell me a little bit more about some of the different experiences they had over the last few months.
Well, they got to experience a lot of hands-on activities, which was, I think, the most fun part. You know, sometimes weather makes things a little bit more difficult, but, you know, that's a reality of gardening itself. I think they got to experience, I think, the most important experience of gardening, which is disappointment. When you plant something, one of the first things we planted were snow peas, and we had this wonderful crop of snow peas, and then a critter got into the garden and ate them all up. And, we also, like a lot of folks, we had kind of a late start to the season, and so our tomatoes didn't come in until a lot later. And all of those elements to gardening, which I'm sure anybody who has been part of farming or gardening just at home can relate to that experience.
So they really got the full gardening experience of being, you know, putting some seeds in the ground and then coming back the next month and saying, oh, that didn't happen the way we hoped. But I think that's, you know, that's part of learning. That's part of seeing, you know, seeing all of the different elements, you know, the other critters that we share the earth with, seeing how weather plays a part, seeing how, you know, if we don't get enough rain or if, you have too hot of a spell, certain things aren't gonna survive. So that was a really valuable experience for them. We also got to have visitors, a master composter came and we got to see, the life cycle of worm composting.
Oh, that's
and,
so cool.
Yeah, we had a bunch of worms live in a bin that I ended up taking home and taking care of in between classes. And we made a little compost salad and then got to see, the worms transform these, you know, food scraps into actual compost. And we were able to add that into our garden, which was really wonderful to see. And we also were joined by the dirt diva, Adrienne Picciano, who is a fantastic resource and a local gardener who does incredible work around the county. If you're ever in Jeffersonville, you can see her work in the garden out behind the Jeffersonville Bake Shop. And so she's been a wonderful resource for the kids, sort of sharing her expertise and guiding us through that process.
Oh, well, I'm sure that the kids are, I mean, I'm just thinking there's no better way for them to appreciate all the hard work that our farmers do in the region than growing it themselves.
Absolutely.
and I'm sure a number of them are probably so upset about the close of the garden season, but I know that you guys are going to be celebrating it in your own way with the potluck. Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So on Saturday, November 1st, from 10:30 to 1 p.m., we're going to be having a little community potluck. All the gardeners who have plots in the community garden are going to be joining us. We're going to be doing a little garden reset, clearing out some of our space, planting garlic. We're going to be, you know, which is something that we'll be able to harvest in the spring. And and then we're going to be having our little graduation ceremony for the kids who completed the Master Gardeners course. And they're going to really have it's going to be a very celebratory event. We're going to have hot apple cider and our annual soup making contest, which is something that the Tustin Heritage Community Garden does annually. And it'll be a really festive send off for the garden season. And then we'll have one more meeting in December of the kids so we can kind of, gather up our last, have a last little group meeting, with just the kids. But this will be a community event that everyone is welcome to come to. Everyone's welcome to come in and join us to close out the garden, you know, all hands on deck kind of thing. And then to really show the kids, community support. That's another thing we're really looking forward to, is everyone in the community getting to, celebrate the work that these kids have put in and everything that they have learned.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about the soup contest that you just mentioned. Because whenever I hear there is going to be soup involved in a celebratory event, I get so excited.
Yeah. So that's probably a better question for Annie, Annie Stanley, who is in charge of the community garden. But basically everyone is welcome to come and bring a soup of their own making. They have to make their own soup, and we will. I'm not entirely sure what the judging process is, but I'm sure it's very democratic.
Well, if folks want to try some of the from the annual soup contest and join in on the graduation ceremony, the potluck, as Callison mentioned, is going to be on Saturday, November 1st, 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Tustin Heritage Community Garden in Narrowsburg. I've been chatting with Callison Stratton of the Junior Master Gardener Program at the Western Sullivan Public Library. Callison, before we sign off, is there anything else you want to mention?
We have a lot of wonderful programs going on for kids, teens, and families at the Western Sullivan Public Library all year round. Junior Master Gardeners is just sort of the tip of the iceberg when it comes to our programs. And people can always reach out to me at wspl.programs@gmail.com. Or they can find out about our programs on our calendar at WSPLonline.org. We've got things going on for pretty much every age group, from book clubs to a songwriting club, and everyone's always welcome at the library.
And folks can find out more information on the library's website. That's at WSPLonline.org. Callison, thank you so much for chatting today. I am so excited for this event. It's going to be a good one.
Thank you so much for having me, Kim.
Just a few other announcements and community events happening that I want to put on your radar. There is a important piece of information. There is a statewide burn ban that is still in effect now through October 14th. This was announced by Governor Kathy Hochul due to increased fire risk and ongoing dry conditions. The burn ban prohibits outdoor fires for brush and debris disposal, as well as all uncontained fires, which includes campfires and open fires that typically used for cooking. New Yorkers are also recommended to conserve water wherever possible to protect water supplies. And this weekend's going to be a fun one for us here at Radio Catskill. Tomorrow, October 12th, is a big day. We're going to be hosting two events that you can come on out for. We'll be hosting our Double Down on Radio Catskill party at the Arnold House in Livingston Manor. It's going to be a fun one. It'll be from 2 to 5 p.m., and the afternoon is going to be a number of family-friendly activities and music by DJ Tika Masala. Don't miss out on that one. Double Down on Radio Catskill at the Arnold House in Livingston Manor, 2 to 5 p.m. And then after that, if you're still craving some more time with our Radio Catskill crew, head on over to Parksville. We're going to get loud for public radio. Come out for WJFF Fest for a great lineup of live bands on Sunday, October 12th at New Memories in Parksville. All proceeds will benefit Radio Catskill. That'll kick off at 5 p.m. You can find more information on both events on our website at wjffradio.org. That's wjffradio.org. Next week, we're going to have a special edition of Farm and Country with some live music. We're going to have live bands in the studio as part of our fall fun drive. So don't forget to tune in for that. This show was produced by the Radio Catskill editorial team and post-production by Ronald Kelson. Stick around. Up next, it's Catskill Character with Donna Fellenberg. You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and PR. I'll catch you next week for our special edition of Farm and Country live music here on Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Morgan Outdoors. Celebrating 20 years as a local source for hiking, snowshoeing, and discovering the great outdoors. On Main Street in Hurleyville, near the rail trail. Morgan-Outdoors.com.
This week on CatsCast, a conversation with Ken Posner and his new book, Chasing the Grid, an ultra runner's physical and spiritual journey in pursuit of the ultimate mountain challenge.
I think the mountains like it. They like it when people go out and try. But they'll also throw some challenges your way. That's part of the game.
Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on WJFF Radio Catskill.
I've talked to folks who were in graduate programs in New York who are like amazing qualified computer programmers, quants even. And they say like, you know, I had like 400 interviews this semester. I can't even get an internship because it's all full of AI screens.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, host of On Point. If you want to better understand a future that's already here, please contribute now. Here's how.
Make your donation now at wjffradio.org. Thanks.